Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. And once again, make your way near the back of your Bible to a very little short memo that was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, written by the Apostle John. It's tied to a trilogy of epistles that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's recorded in your Bible as the third epistle of John. You have the Gospel of John in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then you have these three books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then you also realize that the same author was inspired by God to write the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know, as you know, and I believe as you believe, that there are no accidents with the Lord, right? He is omniscient. He knows everything. Nothing ever occurs to him. Nothing is ever by chance. Nothing is just off of the cuff. And so it's not without accident that I find myself tonight speaking to you. I was not supposed to speak to you. We were supposed to have a missionary. And when I found out that the missionary was not going to be here, I began to think and ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me speak to the people?" And as I was studying for this morning's message, which was taken from the Epistle of Jude, in one of my Bibles in 3 John, I had some verses underlined. They caught my attention, and I began to read the little letter that John wrote to his beloved friend, and I found within this letter a calling and a moving in the Holy Spirit of God and permission to speak to you tonight. And I want to be to you tonight what I believe the Apostle John was to the man named Gaius in this little letter. This little memo that comes from John, I believe was designed to be inspiring, and I believe it was designed to be instructive, and I believe it was designed to be an encouragement to this man. 3 John is an epistle that is written from the Apostle John to a faithful man, a good man. As you will find as we make our way through the short little epistle, that I believe, according to verse number 4, that it is possible that Gaius was led to the Lord by the Apostle John and is one of his children in the faith. And I don't know if you've ever led anybody to the Lord or not, but what a joy it is to watch someone that you lead to the Lord grow up and to know the Lord and to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege. This is what John has when it comes to Gaius. And John is writing this faithful good man to encourage him. And I believe tonight, like John was speaking to Gaius, on a Sunday night, and especially on the Sunday night of time change, I'm speaking to faithful good people in our church. You're not the only faithful and good people, but you're definitely the faithful and good people. And John's pouring out his heart of love to Gaius, and I want to kind of pour out my heart of love as a pastor. I find that even faithful people need to be encouraged. Even faithful people need to be recognized, inspired. Sometimes they need to hear personally, "Well done." Sometimes they need to just hear some good encouragement. And I think Gaius needed to hear this from the elder. I'm the pastor. I'm the elder of this church. And I think sometimes you just need to hear it from your pastor. I find as we will go through and see how John encouraged Gaius in his faithfulness and instructed him accordingly, I think there's a lot that I'll be able to encourage you with. I also think there's some things I hope you learn tonight. And you walk out of here with a good, clear perspective about the preeminence of Christ in your life and what it is to serve the Lord. John's writing to Gaius. a course, as you find in verse number 1, because he loves him. But also, there's a need, a desperate need that is in the church. If you look at verse number 9, you will find that Gaius is having, this faithful good man is having to deal with some things within the church. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. You know, even in the Bible, there's no such thing as a perfect church. By the way, Plantation Baptist Church is not a perfect church. There's not a perfect church that exists on the planet. If you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Why is there not a perfect church? Because we're not perfect people. However, we've been perfected in Christ, but we're not perfect people. And you find that a lot of times, some of the greatest problems in churches are personality-driven problems. It's not very long that you learn that not everybody's like you. Not everybody thinks like you. Not everybody acts like you. Not everybody responds like you. Not everybody talks like you. Not everybody has the same gifts and graces. And there's a lot of personalities that go into a church. Such is the case here, I believe, somewhere around Ephesus, where Gaius and Diotrephes are serving together. And Diotrephes, he's interested in something called preeminence, which is a biblical word. But he's not interested in the Lord Jesus having the preeminence in the church. He's interested in himself being exalted and having the preeminence in the church. And by the way, all churches will have problems when any other personality outside of Christ is exalted in preeminence. One of the things that brings unity to a church, I believe, is the understanding of who is the preeminent Lord of our church, and his name is Jesus Christ. Diotrephes is causing a problem. He's kind of an aggressive fellow. Actually, if you read verse number 10, John a little bit sheds some light on that. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. And the King James has a word here. The word is prating. You might have a study Bible that may give you a definition there. But that word prating carries with the idea of talking nonsense. You might know someone who talks nonsense. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Prating or talking nonsense against us being John and the apostles, with malicious words. He's not content therewith. Now watch this. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren. These would be traveling speakers or missionaries. And forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You don't want this guy as your greeter at the front door. I'll tell you that for sure. So he's kind of one of those guys that's got to protect his ego, protect his prominence. He sometimes is like a certain mindset that has authority because of their job, but they lack authority in their person. Sometimes you find this with law enforcement people. They have a badge, and that gives them authority, but they don't have any authority within their person. So when you take the badge away from them, they still want people to respect them, yet they don't have any authority within their personality that encourages people to humble themselves or encourages people to submit to them. This is Diotrephes. He's got the badge of leadership in the church. Really and truthfully, how he got it, I'm not exactly sure. There's a battle here. But he's fighting to keep his space. He's fighting to keep his preeminence. And if you disagree with him, he's just going to run you out. And John says, I wrote a letter to the church and he didn't even receive us. Pretty tough guy. I like what John says. John says, when I get there, I'm going to mess him up. That's kind of how I read that. That's how I would pastor anyway. When I get there, I'm going to confront him over what he's doing. It's interesting that Even faithful, good people sometimes can get caught up in certain things that are going on. It can be a distraction. Verse number 11, John addresses Gaius. He says, "Now, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is," say those two words, please, "of God. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So he's kind of putting Diotrephes in his place. He's saying, listen, this guy, based on his behavior, this guy, based on what he's doing, is evidencing that he's not right. Don't imitate him. Don't follow him. Let me just put a little parenthesis around here. Anytime you find somebody in the church who talks nonsense, get away from them. They're problems. Talks nonsense, talks out of their head, says stupid things, says things off the cuff, no filter. They don't understand edification, and they just kind of ooze out of their mouth with nonsense, especially when it comes to malicious words against the elder, against the pastor, against the leadership, against direction. Be careful about that. And so this is a good, faithful man that John's encouraging him along these lines. It's funny, in verse number 12, probably the one that has delivered this letter is the man named Demetrius. And John has to let Gaius know Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Demetrius was probably one of the guys Diotrephes threw out of the church. And so John's writing Gaius, and John's saying, "Now, wait a minute here. Demetrius is not what Diotrephes," you ought to practice this. "Demetrius is not what Diotrephes said he is. He's a good man. And how does he reckon him to be a good man? He reckons him to be a good man based on his position of the truth of the Word of God, based off of his testimony. John's giving him a good testimony. And so John is letting Gaius know, hey, Diotrephes is who he is, but Demetrius is a good man, and I want you to receive him." If you read verse number 13, the church probably had a few more problems than this. "I had many things to write." Good night. John says, "You know what? I don't know that I got enough ink in my pen, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee." I like that. John's kind of a face-to-face guy. "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face-to-face." Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. A lot of problems would be resolved if we would just learn how to speak face-to-face. "Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thee, the friends, by name." And so John's encouraging this good, faithful man. This good, faithful man finds himself in the middle of a church that's got some personality problems. And yet he's instructing and encouraging him. And really and truthfully, what John says about this good, faithful man, I want to say about you tonight. And so just let me love on you a little bit here. When you come back to verse number 1, the Bible says that John is the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love, say that last phrase, please, in the truth. We know a few things about Gaius. First thing we know about him is that he is a well-beloved man, which means he has the respect and the love of the church. He has the respect and the love of the congregation. If you're going to be well-beloved, you better love the beloved. Let me say that again. If you're going to be well-beloved, then you better love the beloved. Gaius is well-beloved, not because he loved with human love, but because he loved with agape love. He was a man that knew how to love with the love of Christ. And really and truthfully, it was the love of Christ in him and the love for Christ in him that enabled him to love others. Matter of fact, Gaius really didn't care about personalities. Gaius didn't really care about preeminence. He knew the truth. He loved the truth. And the only one that he wanted to know preeminence was the Lord Jesus Christ. That freed him from personal advantage. That freed him from a personal direction. He didn't care if he received any glory or any praise. He wanted all the glory and the praise to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank our church And I thank you because I do believe in this place we desire for the Lord Jesus to be preeminent. Amen. And we're not personality driven. And we do love, and we have well-beloved folks because we loved well. And we love in the truth. And this is Gaius' position. Notice what John says about him in verse 2. Beloved, I wish, or I pray, above all things, that thou mayest, what's that word? Prosper. And be in, underline those two words. Prosper and be in health, even as thy, say it, soul prospers. Gaius, the name means earthy, out of the earth. If you met Gaius as he lived up to his name, you would refer to him as a down-to-earth person. I don't know about you, but I like down-to-earth people. Normal people. People that just know how to relate. People that do not have facades. People that do not have agendas. They're just down-to-earth people. This is Gaius. There's many Gaiuses that are mentioned in the Bible. Bible scholars go back and forth if some of them are the same Gaius. If you start in Acts 19, verse 29, you go to Acts chapter 20, verse number 4, I think Romans chapter 13, you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, you will find Gaiuses are mentioned. It's interesting that all the Gaiuses that are mentioned are kind of mentioned within the context of this Gaius in their behavior. They're just down-to-earth, simple people. However, Gaius, in him being down to earth, was probably a poor man and a sick man. John said, that thou mayest prosper and that thou mayest be in health. So he doesn't have much. He's probably just a common man, probably a needy person. I would say that he probably lives just like you live, by faith. At the same time, he's sick. I don't know what sickness he has, but he's not in good health. I'll tell you, I know a lot of people that can't be happy if they're not rich or in good health. But Gaius is one of those that is not rich and he's not in good health. But notice what part of him is prospering in verse number 2. Even as thy soul prospers. He's got his priorities right. He's a needy guy. He's a down-to-earth guy. He's not a rich man. He's not well in his health. And yet, he's well in his soul. He's at peace in his soul. These two things about him aren't keeping him from serving the Lord. I think about our church. I think about you tonight. I think about being the pastor. And I pastor down-to-earth people. I pastor people that may not be the richest people in the world. I pastor people that not everyone has their health. We know that on Wednesday nights. But I just want to thank you that you have your soul prospering. It takes a lot of deep spiritual understanding to shift your focus away from physical bad health and pain to a peaceful soul. If you're going to have peace in your soul, that's evidence that you spend time with God. That's evidence that you walk with God. That's evidence that you're trusting the Lord. I watch people in our church that don't have much give much. I watch people in our church that suffer in their health and they're faithful. I watch people in our church that are sick and yet they've got a smile on their face. They got joy of the Lord as their strength. They got peace in their soul. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, I love you for that. And I want you to hear it from me. For I rejoice greatly, verse number 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Gaius has got a good testimony. Gaius practices what he preaches. He claims the name of Christ, and he is a blessing to the name of Christ. The truth that he has believed in his heart is manifesting itself by the actions within his walk. His walk backs up his talk. And it's bringing great joy to the heart of the elders, bringing great joy to the heart of John. And John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, as a pastor, you love to see your people be Christian in church and be Christian out of church. Now, one of the things that hurts me a little bit about that is Facebook. Because Facebook has given people an opportunity to expose things publicly that they would never expose. It amazes me. They think that they sit behind a computer and they put it on Facebook that somehow it's going to be private. It goes all over the world. And you know more about people today than probably what we should know about people. But for the most part, the testimony of the people of Plantation Baptist Church is that they walk in truth. And I love you for that. And I appreciate you for that. And it means the world to your pastor. I'm sure it's a blessing to you. We're not perfect people. We fall down sometimes. We find forgiveness in that. But we continue in our walk. Gaius was a man who had a powerful, wonderful testimony. And I see that in our church life because you're bringing guests, you're bringing people you work with, you're bringing your neighbors, you're bringing your friends. And these folks would not come if you did not have a wonderful testimony of the Lord Jesus upon your life. Gaius is a good man. He's a man that's a lover. He's a man that understands the preeminence of Christ. He's a man that is healthy in his soul, even though he's needy in his possession. He's needy in his health. He has a testimony, a walk that backs up his talk. Verse number 5, it identifies his faithfulness in just one little category, but I think there's application to a life of faithfulness. Beloved, thou doest, how class? Faithfully, whatsoever thou doest. Look here at the pastor just a moment. Some of you guys that have pastored will know this. I do not know that there's anything more important to a pastor than faithful people. I don't know that there's anything more encouraging to a pastor than faithful people. We're living in a time where faithfulness has been redefined. Faithfulness now is going to church once every 2 weeks. Faithfulness now is giving a few dollars. Faithfulness now might be serving in some capacity here and there. But when you talk about week by week, day by day, service by service, faithfulness of God's people, that was reckoned by John. That's reckoned by your pastor. And praise God, one day that's going to be reckoned by Jesus Christ. Pastor, I can't do much. You can be faithful. Never sell faithfulness short. It encourages God's people. It encourages the pastor. Gaius is a faithful man. He says, whatsoever you do faithfully. Notice that whatsoever he does faithfully, he does to the brethren and to strangers. Now, he's talking here about a certain unique movement. Let me read the verses and I'll explain it to you. Which have borne witness. Who have borne witness? These brethren and these strangers have borne witness of thy charity or thy love before the church. So what you have here is you have some traveling evangelists. You have some traveling preachers. They've gone to where Gaius is in his church, where Diotrephes is. And they've seen in Gaius's life faithfulness. They've seen in Gaius's life love. They've seen in Gaius's life, even though he doesn't have much, and even though he's physically sick, they've seen a peace in his soul. His walk is matching his talk. And that word has gotten back to John, where John is. And John says, listen, your testimony has been borne about by witness, and your love has been brought for the church. Whom, verse 6, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And what he's referencing here is this. These traveling preachers have been helped by Gaius. If you look at verse number 7, it says, because that for his name's sake, that would be for the Lord Jesus, They went forth. Who are the they? These are these. They used to operate this way. Speakers would go from church to church. Missionaries would go from church to church. And it was a traveling situation like that. And these folks, as they were leaving, notice verse number 7. They took nothing of the, say that word, the Gentiles. They took nothing outside of the church. So in actuality, these were love offering, faith-based actions that preachers would take, and they would travel from city to city or from church to church. They would bring the letters that the apostles would write. They would speak the word, and yet it takes money. By the way, ministry takes money. Churches take money. It takes money to get the gospel out. It takes money to function. And so they would show up at the church, and the man who had nothing, not even good health, would carry them forth on their journey. That was the man that would put money in their pocket. That was the man that would make sure that they had something to eat. That was the man that would make sure that all the details were taken care of. This was the faithful man. See, Diotrephes, he didn't give a care about that. He just wanted the preeminence for himself. But as these folks were coming, here's this faithful, good man who has nothing and is not even in good health, but his soul is prospering. And he would be the one to see that they were carried forth in serving the Lord. Tell me you understand that. Say amen. Verse number 8. We therefore ought to receive such, John's including him, now watch, that we might be, say that word, fellow helpers to the truth. And this is where I want to get to. All of that was introduction for the next 50 minutes. Just kidding you. The Apostle John, who Jesus loved, the Apostle John, who laid on the breast of Jesus, the Apostle John, who was the last living apostle, the Apostle John, who had the divine revelation of all that God had given. I mean, so well known that he just references himself as the elder, the Apostle John, says to a man who has nothing, you, sir, are a fellow helper. Fellow help. I'm a fellow. I can just imagine Gaius. I'm a fellow helper to the Apostle John. No, that's not what he said. Look at verse number 8. That we might be fellow helpers, say those last three words, to the truth. Let me make my application and I'm done. There's only one that ought to be preeminent in this church, and his name is Jesus. The rest of us, me included, I'll take my seat. I'm Tom. I hold the office of the pastor. But at the same time, I'm just a fellow helper to the truth. We're one body. We're one people. We've been washed in one blood by the Lord Jesus. God has a person and a place of service for you, just like he does for me. Mine might be different than yours. We're just kind of ordinary people. We don't have much. But what we do have, we've made available to the Lord. And whether you park a car, or whether you change a diaper, or whether you clean up a mess in a hallway, or whether you serve a meal, or whether you greet, or whether you sing, or whether you give, when you lump it all together, we're fellow helpers, are we not? And I love you for helping me. I want to help you. I want you to help me. And I want to be a helper to the truth. And I just thought I would encourage you as your pastor tonight. Shall we pray?